Anthony Frieda here. Welcome back to Badum Biz. All right, everybody, and we are back with part two with the Crap Band. Cat, Rich, Anthony, Paul, we are Crap. Yeah, this was a fun one. This is part two. So we tell a lot of war stories, a lot of cringeworthy stories, moments we've had in our music careers, performing and, you know, all that stuff, being on gigs. And of course, just laughter and silliness, just like in the last episode. And then at the very end, we do a live performance, improvised. Please follow Cat, Rich, and Paul. It's Cat London, Rich Aveo, Paul O'Keefe. Please follow these. Follow these fine people. They're my best friends, and they're wonderful people. And when we're able to perform again, you will see us performing together out live. Anyway, enjoy the episode.
I got a question for each of you.
Yes. What's
up? This is like a fun question, but I don't think we've ever had this conversation. We've all been performing for a long time, years, yeah. like over a decade, each of us.
Mm-hmm.
What's your worst, most cringy train wreck live on stage moment?
I have to think.
So I don't want to share it though. I don't know that I've ever had a cringy moment on stage as an adult performer, but when I was about 13, I was commissioned by the state to perform the national anthem at the Puerto Rican Day Parade. And it was a big deal, man. And I was terrified, nervous. And, you know, there was thousands of people there. And I was young and, you know, insecure. And it's the national fucking anthem.
Yeah.
You know, I had to play the Puerto Rican anthem
Never
and the American anthem. I know, you're right. Is that Post Malone?
Is that Post Malone?
It's like, oh, say, can you see the leap?
Yeah. Sir, can you see?
What do you play? Oh, say, can you see the leap? That's when the auto tuner goes all fuck-cocked. So I'm playing it. And now, again, this is totally full circle here, guys. I'm a classical player at the time, so improv, no good, man. Like, I practiced this particular performance that you're about to see for weeks. I get up there, I'm playing this thing in front of thousands of people over this loudspeaker, which was already throwing me off. And then I'm like halfway into it, into the Puerto Rican anthem, and everyone starts singing along. Thousands of people start singing along.
Oh, no.
And it's
slow as hell.
It was slow and it was obviously off pitch.
Right.
And the volume of it overtook what I was doing, because I was playing on like a synth that was probably no bigger than this, dude.
Yeah.
Probably a
49
key.
61, 41, yeah. 49 key.
It was probably 49. Or maybe it was probably 60, 62 key. Anyway, point is I just had to stop playing because I forgot what was going on, because I just wasn't ready for that kind of a thing. And then they realized what was happening because I was a kid. So they kind of like stopped singing. And then I tried to get back into it on my own and I just couldn't do it. I didn't have sheet music because I was off book for the show.
Yeah. Oh, no.
And I was just like, and it was all I could do to just not literally like just ball up and die in front of everybody. And then I just kind of like fudged my way through, you know, through the rest of it.
But you were how old?
I was actually, now that I think about it, I was probably 11 or 12.
Yeah, hopefully the crowd was like, okay, this is a kid.
Well, the thing for me is like, I envisioned this show. And like when I saw how many people were it wasn't a show, but you know what I mean.
There were multiple thousands
of people there in the street, lining Broad Street. And I just envisioned doing this thing and being so proud, you know, like that I nailed this show down. And instead, you could hear the individual claps when I was done. Like, that's how few people were clapping for me.
Really?
I'm like, oh, there's probably 3,000 people here, and you can hear
rough crowd.
You can hear people clapping.
It's an unfortunate, but like, people.
Was it a festival for assholes?
I agree. Like,
you fucked up the performance.
That's Newark for you.
The people fucked up the performance for you.
They ruined it for me.
Because no one says sorry.
In their defense, it was so intolerable what I was doing on the piano that I just don't think they knew if I was done or not. Like, it wasn't like, oh, and now we clap. You know, so it's kind of like... And because I really wasn't a showman at that age, I wasn't like, you know, like, and stood up and bowed. Like, I just kind of like sat there and like gently stood up. So then people were just kind of like.
What year was this?
Oh, man. I need to do math now. I'm not Anthony Frieda.
It was the 90s.
Here's what I'm theorizing.
I was 11, so I don't know, probably like.
90.
Yeah, maybe 90, 91.
So Mark Zuckerberg was at that performance, and he said, "Someday I'm going to create an internet platform that's just like this."
That's right.
It's going to be. It was like social media before social media.
Yeah, it wasn't media. It was just like social life.
That's
just
a pretty good one.
People randomly clapping.
Oh, yeah. It was brutal. I'll never forget the feeling of emptiness inside.
Cat, what you got?
You don't have to tell your number one, but do your number two.
Yeah. If anyone else is involved, you don't have to name them. You can be vague.
It was an improv thing. I had brought up with comedy, you try to push the limits a little bit, and just limits on content, not opinions. If you're smart, you don't put your opinions into a song, because I do musical improv comedy. But there was a very interesting way, I was with Vegas, a very interesting way that he thought he was yes-anding me, but it seemed more of like a, Cat, what the hell are you saying? And my response to that of like not being totally yes-anded in the way I wanted to be yes-anded, which is like totally amateur move on my part, I kept doing the bad thing. Like, so the content was like, was that song racist? That might have been a little racist. Because I just kept
pushing the limit. I kept pushing the limit.
And it wasn't racist. It was a song about how stupid stereotypes are.
Okay.
But I was playing the role of the one who was instating the stereotypes.
Yeah.
And I thought it was obvious that he was going to be the one to be like kind of saving it, but he was so shocked that I even brought up race to begin with.
That's so funny.
And I'm like, I should write this into a stand-up instead.
It's like the saying, right? Like, comedy's only funny when someone laughs at it. Otherwise, everybody's like, the fuck was
I
that?
I thought it was hilarious for like a second, and then I'm like, oh, he's not like feeling my wavelength. And when you do improv again, like what we said, you have to, your whole team has to feel it.
You gotta save each other,
So at the end, I was just like, he was like, all right, that was weird. And then we like apologized to some people outside the venue. And they were like, it wasn't bad. Like, okay. It was a whole room of stand-ups anyway. Right. But with improv, we were the only improv act, which was kind of like weird.
Well, that'll do it, yeah.
That'll do it because not everybody's totally familiar with how improv works.
What were the other acts doing?
It's stand-up.
So prepared.
Yeah. Prepared material. So not everybody knows how. What's good about performing improv in front of a improv audience or just any audience is that they wanted to be there. So they kind of knew what they were going to be in for. So they know the mechanics of it. Not that the stand-up people didn't, but not all of them do or did. So it's hard to identify where the train wreck happened, therefore resulting in a less forgiving environment. Because when you know how the train wreck happened, you go, oh, that's okay. I see where it went wrong.
Right.
Not everybody saw where it went wrong.
Gotcha.
I presume. No one went crazy on us at all. No one said anything.
An internal
but
failure.
It was more of like the silence that I was like, I think that song was racist.
Was it a KKK rally you were doing?
It was the worst. It was about Vlad the Impaler and all the. It was about rape. No, I'm kidding. It was about everything. It was about every Roman Catholic bad thing.
Anthony, what you got?
Oh man, I guess I have two things that pop out. Does it have to be a performance like with an audience? Could it be like an audition?
auditions.
Yeah, whatever.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I wish I have plenty of those.
I know. Yeah, those are always cringy.
Those
so
are
yeah,
the
bring
real
it on.
Life breakers. All
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, I was like maybe a freshman and a sophomore, like 2 years in a row.
College.
In high school.
Okay.
Now, granted, I'm only playing for at the like honestly, it's like the first year, maybe I was 14, 15. So I was only playing for like 2 years.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a jazz, it was the state regional jazz band audition. You know those bullshit things?
Yes. I do.
And my band director was just like, you should do it. You know? And the thing is about those things is they say
they're rigged.
It's like, we think you should do this, but I'm not going to investigate what it entails.
Anthony,
but you should
yes.
do it because yeah. I and,
correct.
And you know,
correct. You handle all the details.
We don't know how, like, yes, yeah, exactly.
You
know,
you're
know
a kid, you know how to do this.
Yeah, you know what? Actually, I might have been 15 and 16, so I think I did it like sophomore and junior year. I think, yeah, all right, whatever. The first year, like I get the music, and you have to like. I'm just gonna say this. For the age groups that this is for, what they wanted you to do, they're asking a lot.
Yeah.
Like truly.
Yep.
They want you to go from like this big band thing, which might have been like do these hits, bah, 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 you know, then you got to do a little drum solo, and then you got to do like a, and there's like improvise, like, oh, you know, mm-hmm. under the swing with some, you know, whatever, do these hits. That would be like a medium swing, maybe, then a slow one. Then they wanted to, you know, do like a fast.
Jeez.
And then there was a thing of like, oh, do a Latin beat. Which I can't even do right now. You know what I mean?
Okay. And this is your most cringy moment right now.
Right.
It's like I'm sweating a little bit. And the other thing was you got to bring your own. Oh, this was another fucking stupid. Bring your own drum set.
Oh, oh really?
What?
Oh, so it's a shitty gig
so
on top
can
of it.
Watch so, you put it together.
So there's 25 high schoolers with their
oh,
own
Lord.
Drum set.
Are
in
you
a hallway
kidding
of a high
me?
School.
Why would you do that?
So you come into the audition, set up your drum set. So one of the worst
I
things.
I hate school things.
One
man.
Of the worst things to feel after a bad audition is not only.
Do you they, don't even get to leave.
Like, not only do they.
There break your shit down.
Yeah. Like, they are. All right, let me get there.
You should have
feel it.
You should have gone last.
You know, like the thing is, the other thing is this music. Again, only playing for 3 years, maybe. You don't understand what it's supposed to sound like. That's a whole skill in itself.
Absolutely.
Looking at music, understanding what it's supposed to sound like, and its context.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't fucking know. And then they also gave you like, there was like a. I think there might have been like a recording, but it's like you have to be able to even then, the music's moving so fast, you don't know what the drummer's doing. Like, whatever. I go into this audition and I just fucking shit myself.
Oh my
God. Meaning like I go through each thing, but it's not what it's supposed to sound like.
Right.
Truly.
Right.
Not. Like I remember the fast bebop thing was like if anybody like listeners like I'm just gripping my stick just like you know what I look like the kid from
that
Whiplash
awful
you, it looks you like you're having an angry wank
yeah. I'm constipated right so
thanks Paul
you're welcome
at the end of the whole thing whatever I just stop and they go and the guy just looks up and goes okay
really
oh, damn
yeah. Thanks
wow
and that was it
oh, see, man.
And he was a dick about it. Like,
such
like
a
he was
dick.
Kind of
you know
like
what?
not like
you're a kid.
Those, not sympathetic.
Yeah,
not
those
all star
bands
you know.
Are all choir, all state.
So,
all state. Mm-hmm.
You could tell
those teachers don't even know what they're doing.
You could tell that this guy just is. I can't believe I just watched this.
What an
this
asshole,
train wreck.
Wow.
And now I have to take apart my kit in front of him, and he wants me to do it fast. Of course,
oh,
it's like
yeah.
we got to get the next kit in because this whole structure makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, right.
So
don't backline a drum kit.
The next year, I did it again, And it was like a similar thing. It's just like, maybe it was a little better, but mm-hmm. I didn't have a teacher or anything. That was the other thing. It's like your band director's throwing you in this thing, which yeah. is, it's supposed to be like, I think highly of you, so you yeah. should do this thing.
But you have no guidance.
No guidance.
What are you supposed to be, a bunch of prodigies?
That's the
in
thing.
A room? I don't
there
even understand it, because I
kids,
auditioned as well.
There were some kids that were. And I'm watching them going, I can't do any of that.
Right.
It was
right.
beautiful, they're playing, at 16, 15 years old, whatever. So, yeah, so that's probably my... And the second year, the same guy was there.
Oh,
and it was
man.
The same, okay, like the oh same God. Thing. You know, so...
In fairness,
sorry
though,
about
that may be the reaction he gave everyone.
Mm. Oh. That's fair. But I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
And like...
I agree.
I mean,
it shouldn't be like that.
Look, here's a universal theme for anything. Yeah. And it gets me enraged. For any fucking thing.
Red alert.
If you're going to treat somebody like shit
yeah.
for not knowing something.
Yes,
yeah.
yes,
you're
yes,
a
yes.
dick.
Yes.
Especially
yes.
if you're a teacher.
Yes.
You're especially.
You're a fucking dick.
Teachers will do that too. Isn't that weird?
You fucking dick.
It's
you should
like
be
the,
fired. Like, honestly, your job is to educate.
Yeah.
And
right?
you're holding your student
yeah.
or whoever you're talking to
mm-hmm.
to a standard that they're not at.
Right.
And you know they're not at that because you're a teacher.
Right.
Fuck, man. That
I agree.
That drives me nuts, dude.
Yep.
So anyway,
so
it drives me nuts to think like that really stung me. That
yeah.
like mm-hmm. that like really like was rough on me.
Yeah.
I remember like sweating thinking about it for years, for the next decade of my life, like going, oh my fucking God.
Jeez.
That you know, now I can look back at it and I was a kid. And I kind of think like, poor kid. Like
yeah.
I had right. no guidance for this thing.
Right.
And by the way, jazz regionals. Who gives a fuck?
Is that a thing?
It's a thing.
Jazz regionals? It sounds really boring.
Same with like concert band regional thing. It's like basically what it is all the all the schools in whatever area is like North Jersey or whatever. It's like, oh, you're the best kid from
they'll
or
get, yeah.
You represent your school.
They'll get to sit there and whip it out and then measure it.
But
you know?
Is there an end game to like?
Yeah,
you
they
just
have
get
a
told
performance.
You're the best. Oh, they perform.
They will rehearse after they pick all the.
Need a
kids.
Stupid trophy or some shit like this.
No, you just
the school doesn't get a thing.
You just perform with that.
With
ensemble.
The ensemble.
Oh, all state.
And then
yeah,
it goes
yeah,
on
yeah.
your for your college. You know,
yeah.
you put it on. I was in the state, whatever.
Yeah.
Anthony, you didn't miss out on much, man.
No, dude, you're fine.
I know. I'm cool.
And most of the cats that were in all state are not even musicians anymore, like performing musicians.
Sorry, listeners. I got really I've talked about fucking redlining.
Yeah, you got the red alert, man.
That was deep.
I liked it.
Yeah, I really liked it. I enjoyed that story actually.
Thank you.
I've enjoyed all your
stuff. And the only other one I could think of was when I did stand up and I just bombed.
Yeah. Oh,
that
yeah,
was it.
That'll happen.
Open mic, 5 minutes, just.
I'm not sure that there's a stand up comedian on the planet who hasn't had that happen to them.
Oh, it's supposed to happen.
It's a rite
that's
of
why
passage.
That's exactly it. That's why I was like, not shouldn't mention that. It's not worth it.
Paul?
But Paul,
you
have to
lay it on thick?
So.
Oh, God.
Many.
Yeah.
Really? Do you?
So many. Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. The one that I'm going to. The one that just comes to mind is it was
he
a
chuckles.
Massive.
By the way, I have your volume up high. You could back away.
That's not the first time I've heard that. So it was a complete misread of an audience.
Oh,
like
to
like such a degree that it was. Now, I don't know if the other people that I was on stage with felt as cringy and as horrible about this as I did. But this one stuck out in my mind and it just stayed with me. So,
oh, no.
You all know I lived in Old Jersey.
Yes.
And myself and the guys that I played with there, my main core of musician band members, we were always getting asked to do stuff because this is like there's like 40,000 people on this island. There's nobody there, so we were just like we were very prevalent in the music, kind of community there. So. They started this kind of charity thing, which was state funded to have various different artists from the island release a 4-track EP. And they would have like different artists every quarter or every 6 months would go in and record a 4-track EP. So we were asked by these two, for want of a better way of putting it, DJs.
Got it.
Drop the bass. Yeah, so they were like, wouldn't it be cool? And this, we were Susie's Philip. Wouldn't it be cool if we had the guys from Susie's Field write a song with us. And like, so 6 months before they were going in to do this, we were talking in the pub with these two DJs, and I'm not going to say their names because one of them actually was quite, had some hits in the UK, so I don't want to embarrass them. But so they said, would you guys be interested in doing a tune with us on this this EP? We were like, yeah, no problem. This would be great. Fantastic. Completely forgot about it.
Oh, jeez.
Completely forgot about it. At the same time, I don't know if you guys remember, for PlayStation, there was this game called Music 2000.
No.
Where you could, it was very, it was like a video game version of a DAW, basically. But it had all preloaded sounds, like bass lines and drum lines.
Oh, I would have loved that game.
Interesting.
That sounds
brilliant.
Cool.
It was like really, it really was my first experience of like creating loops and that.
Yeah.
So we had been messing about with that, like, you know, let's do this.
Yeah.
The morning they went into the studio, they, like, I think the night before, they called us. So, yeah, we're going into the studio to do this thing. And we're like, what thing? What thing is that? And they're like, no, you said you guys were going to come in and, like, bring a song in and we were going to, like, danceify it. And we're like, oh, yeah, yeah, totally. We've got that. We're like, fuck.
Oh,
what do we do?
No.
So I'm sitting there with my brother, Ali, and he's like, shit, what do we do? What do we do? What do we do? And and I had this idea, what that thing we created on Music 2000, like, we shouldn't really be doing this.
Are you
but
kidding me?
Let's use that. And
is
it was like,
though?
It was like,
he even remembers it.
It was like, it was really cool. Like, so really slow, really vibey, kind of like trappy. Yeah, so. So we did that, all right. So well, let's just go in and do that. I'll just record the bass line. You do a guitar thing, and then we'll get Jamie to do something, and it'll be fine. It'll be great. We'll figure it out. We can just leave then, and they can do whatever they like with it. So I go up to the studio. I record this bass line. I'm like, just cut and loop that. Happy days, no problem. They're like, great. Ali, go and do something. And they were like, Jamie, what have you got? And he was like, Jamie was invited to sing on it. So Jamie went in and he did this. Like Dublin accent rap, you know. I got this thing and a bud and a in it. Like a really kind of like low droney. It was weirdly ahead of its time at the time.
Yeah.
The lads were like delighted with it. They were like, this is brilliant. This is like something we're totally not used to, but they put this like really slow, dirty beat on it. All was well. The song turned out great. We were like, this is great. This is fantastic. So a few months later, they're like, we're going to do a live performance to launch the EP.
Oh, shit.
And we're like, okay, that's fine.
But you remembered the song, right?
Well, I remember, and okay. I can play it now. And I, you know, we ended up like doing a whole live performance with them, and most of it was okay. But
how was the recording, though? How did that turn out?
I liked it, and we were like very happy with it because it was our thing. You know?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we'll tell you about the misread in a minute. So we go a week before the performance, we go to record, and they have a few guest DJs come in to like do various things on the decks, and they had a saxophone player who was like, they were all
Nick Stefanacci.
They were all in this dance music kind of industry, like mini kind of corner of the industry there. And we were going over very, because I played bass on all of their other tunes as well. I learned them and played bass, and then we got around to, oh, let's do that thing, and the rest of the people just kind of went, oh, okay, and like left. And we're like, that's kind of weird. This was during the rehearsal. It's like, that's kind of odd.
The people like
The other guests were like, oh, you're doing that? Okay. I mean, I didn't know we were doing that. That's weird.
Like guests like in...
They were allowed to see your recording?
No, they had heard the recording. And the guys that were running the two DJs that owned the EP, they were like, let's rehearse that one.
Oh.
And everyone kind of went kind of weird during it. We're like, okay, this is odd. Because we were very proud of it, weirdly.
Right.
Comes the night of performance. And they decide, for some fucking reason, to open with this song.
Are you kidding?
They're like, we're going to do that first. This is going to be great. So we go on stage.
DJs.
The place is packed. And it's all like they've all like, you know.
Oh, they're on drugs.
Yeah, they're very happy people.
Yeah.
Drinking a lot of water. not wearing much clothing. And they're all like, and like the background music before is like, and everyone's kind of getting there. And we come on. And it's like, drum beat starts, and I start doing this bass line, and everyone just is like,
I don't get it. Like that's this. Vibey.
And then Jamie comes on with a hoodie.
Drug
induced. And just starts like, don't know when I think and I clean it. And everyone just leaves.
Shut up.
By the end of the song, there's nobody left. Everyone fucked off. Everyone like...
You guys were like Moses.
This is the worst
yo
ever.
And audiences don't do like, that here.
The two
isn't
lads
weird?
Were like, oh my God, what have we done? I had to do the rest of the gig. Because myself and Ali, Jamie was off.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do anymore. I had to do the rest of the show with this guy. And we had like destroyed... It was my cringiest moment as an artist.
And that was at a festival?
It was at a venue. It's a dance venue.
Oh, okay.
But it's a benefit?
It was like, but it was just the whole nature of like, you're so proud of this piece. And it's a complete misread because you have people there that are expecting.
That's a DJ's fault, isn't
that's
it? For organizing
the
EP.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Also, I'm sorry, but that sounds like
everyone just kind of en masse going, okay, we're not listening to this. This is shit. Eventually, they filtered back in because there was another room. So by the end of the show.
Oh, I was like, where did that go? Yeah. Just like
and it was
out
like,
to the pub?
And it was like the DJ guys were really lovely guys, and, you know, but they were like visibly destroyed by this
God.
You know, I mean, I felt terrible, and it was kind of their call, so you're right, but I remember just never has anything I've ever been part of creating
that is insane
been so hated. And the clue the clue was these other guests that were at the rehearsal, they were like, oh, you guys are... What I didn't realize is I thought they were just being kind of like, oh, they had to go or whatever. It was weird, but I didn't clock it. What they were actually trying to tell us was, that's like really not the type of...
This is not
going to
work.
This is not going to work. And
during,
they knew it.
During
they
your rehearsal, it. You say guests. Were they musicians?
So these two
musicians?
Guys had other DJs guest with them on their songs.
Oh, that's what you
on
meant.
The EP.
Oh,
okay.
I see.
So they had us do some of the EP with us. They had another... I think they had another a saxophone player. DJ guest. They had maybe a piano player or something. But they were all of this industry. And we were alternative rock guys.
Yeah,
so we did an darker, you know, and like the music was fine. It was just kind of a little bit, I would say, I mean, not boastfully, but it was a little bit, in a kind of shitty way for the time.
It sounds
but
fine.
But it was the way that like Jamie, I thought quite brilliantly, he put on this like Dublin accent. He was rapping like that.
Yeah.
And it was about the most depressing I can't remember what the lyrics were. Maybe
and everybody in the crowd's on E, and
maybe
they're like, whoa, man.
And everybody, and that's the thing, everybody was obviously on Gary Ablett's, and they were horrified. They must have just seen like dark clouds gathering.
Demons were just coming in the room. They're like, okay, this is ruining my vibe right now.
That
is my most cringy.
Wow, that's pretty bad.
So, like, so rule number one then, if you see people's jaws starting to go, like, just don't play any deep.
Yeah. Deep, depressing. Like it was about being a drug addict and kind of like your life is like the lyrics.
They're like,
were
I'm
really,
out.
Really, really dark.
They're like, that's us. Yeah. Fuck
this
you.
Guy hates us. I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah, it was pretty, and it was from going from such a kind of like great creative moment to, man, everybody hates this. Like creating something that everybody
right.
hates.
You know what, dude? It may have been too real for them because I'll just say his name. It doesn't matter. He's famous. But I went to go watch Gary Goldman, who's one of my favorite comedians of all time.
Yeah.
And
I'll be right back.
Obviously, his tour, a lot of his material, not a lot of it, but you know, he almost always references his depression in his material. And he's so witty and so clever and funny. And it was up in Newton. At the theater there. Mm-hmm. I went by myself to the show, and next to me were three people, a husband, a wife, and some a friend or a family member. They were like, oh, do you know this guy? I said, yeah, man, he's like one of my favorite comics, you know, but I'm so, you know, I just can't wait for the show. They're like, really? Like, we don't really know who he is. Like, we're just like locals, and we heard a comedian is going to be here. We saw that he like has done some stuff, so we figured we'd come. I was like, oh, you're gonna freaking love him, man. He's just like so funny. But halfway through the show, he enters a bit, he introduces a bit about depression, and by the way, says nothing about anyone with depression. He's just talking about depression and his experiences with depression. Out of nowhere, this lady who happens to be seated two seats over from me, she stands up and she fucking like bumps into my leg like to like leave. So I kind of like backed up like, oh, excuse me. She looks me in the face and goes, this guy's a fucking asshole. I don't know how you like this guy. And she just walks out and disappears for the rest of the show.
Wow.
So I think maybe Jamie just hit them with the shock and awe and just called them out on all their depression and drugs.
It was a joint venture. Everybody and nobody is to blame. It was...
Just hit him with some truth, man.
Yeah. There was other times where, like, you always have, like, really bad instances of, man, I just wish I wasn't here right now.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the time the bass amp fell on me.
Oh, that sucks.
Elliott stack fell on top of me.
God, man.
This old AH-3000.
Knocked you unconscious.
It literally gave me a concussion. I had to walk off the stage and lie down. It was literally... Like, we were playing, boom, 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 everybody's dancing. And the last thing I remember was people, like, all these faces going like that in the audience. And then just...
And then just blackness.
Yeah, because somebody, like, fell into...
As Ann adds some sound effects.
So what I was doing...
Because I know that moment. Yeah. We're like, what's everybody? Whatever, you know.
Everybody just... I was looking at the audience playing... And then I just see all the faces change to heart, like, because it was obviously just teetering. Yeah. And then, bang, just hit the back, like this bass head, this old tube bass head. Yeah,
75 pounds.
Flew off the top, hit the back of my head. The rest of it landed on my back. I'm like literally holding it up.
Holy shit.
Kind of blacking out.
Oh my God, man.
Holy shit.
It was hilarious.
Yeah.
I can laugh.
I was going to ask you guys. I actually might cut this little portion out of me saying this, but I was going to ask you if it were cool to tell a, I like how you said, this was good. I'm going to keep this in the episode where you're saying like a cringy moment. Totally going to keep that in. But I had an idea to do a separate episode with all the guests I've had on, tell a story of just a fucking, this gig sucked.
Yeah.
You know, like, and this person was a piece of shit, like those types of stories.
Yeah.
Obviously, we all have those. Yeah. We shared some of those gigs. But if you want, is that cool if you tell one? And then I would just cut it up, and I would make like a compilation episode.
Right.
I think I can get it started. This might actually cover myself and Kat.
Could one of you, sorry, could you just close the door?
Sorry, that was my bad.
It's all right, Kat.
You got it, Rich?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I had enough slack on that one.
Thank you.
A common problem.
All right. So you got a bad gig story?
Yeah, I'll try to keep it relatively brief. As we mentioned earlier, like we do events and stuff like this. So I get an email one day, random email, and it was from a fellow from Nigeria and said, saw your videos. We're getting married.
From where?
Nigeria. So already, right? And this has nothing to do with anything except for just the common theme of the scams that go around.
Yeah.
So... anyway, I'll try to keep it brief, but relatively pertinent. Saw your videos online. Think you're really impressive. Would love for you to play our wedding. We're getting married in New York, at Rockefeller Center in the Rainbow Room. So I'm like, holy shit. So I'm like, all right, already red flag central, right? Like most expensive place in the world, Nigeria, my videos, this is horseshit. So I'm already like super super skeptical about the whole thing. Ultimately decided, all right, I tell you what, we'll put this contract together. They wind up actually hiring me and Kat as a duo. Wind up putting the contract together, and I'm like, look, I don't know if it's real. The guy doesn't have a phone number from the United States, so I can't call him to figure out if he's real. So I said, here's what I'll do. I'll send him a contract and I'll just tell him, which is basically like my thing anyway. Mm-hmm. When you give me the deposit for the event, like, happy days. Like, this way, even if you're lying, well, you gave me the deposit.
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, I show up to the gig and it's fake. He sends a deposit, no problem.
Whoa.
It's like, oh, I guess we're hired. I guess we're playing the Rainbow Room. The deal was we were supposed to just play during dinner.
Okay.
So show up to the gig, and I'm fast forwarding through a lot of other stressful moments about this, but we show up to the gig and Rainbow Room is gorgeous. The load in is atrocious.
Through a kitchen, up an elevator.
Yeah, it's like it's crazy. It's actually crazier than that. I won't even go into those details, but it's
yeah. The knock three times on a door, and a guy with a lantern came out.
Yes.
Yeah. You're basically parked six blocks away in the city, and you have
after
to get,
all that,
and you have to get inside Rockefeller Center.
Yep.
One Rockefeller Center with equipment.
Yep.
So good luck with that.
Yep.
With the security measures and everything, just good luck with that. So we get up to the place. We get there and. I'm not even going to say anything that embarrasses the couple, because they were actually pretty nice. But turns out the guys, these guys are loaded rich. They're like parents are like dignitaries and politicians in Nigeria, and so like they actually wound up flying over like 400 guests for this wedding because they wanted to also have an American wedding in New York City. So it's a really big to do. So I'm like, holy shit, I can't believe they called me for this.
Yeah.
Like, this is so weird,
real.
You know, just because they saw my, like my impressions videos on YouTube. We're supposed to play during dinner. So now they have this guy who's like supposedly like an MTV host in Nigeria as their MC for the night. And he winds up turning the whole first like 2 hours of the wedding into this roast where he's just standing in the middle of this venue in this room pointing out who's here. It's like the host of the Grammys or something. Like, oh, I see we have so-and-so here. Yeah, political joke, right? Am I right? You know, like this kind of thing. And so Kat and I are just sitting here waiting. And the Rainbow Room, you can see the tension building because dinner's supposed to be out. So we're just like, all right, well, I don't even know. First of all, I don't know how we're getting out of here after dinner. Like, do we have to wait till the end of the event now? Like, this was not part of the contract. Long story short, we wound up starting our set like an hour and a half later than we were supposed to.
Oof.
And then immediately after our set, which was during their sit-down dinner, the DJ's supposed to come on. And they had this like big fucking thing going on in there. So now I said to Kat, I'm like, well, I think I made a mistake because I didn't have them, couldn't contact them to pay me the rest of the balance.
Yeah.
So they owed us the rest of the balance. I'm like, we have to get it tonight or they're flying back to Nigeria. We're never going to hear from these guys again. So we actually wound up like breaking down our shit like while the DJ was like set up behind us. So we broke down all our shit, like snuck it off to the stage, but then had to wait around for like what? Another 2 hours? Hour and a half?
Because the DJ kept talking.
Well, the DJ went into this big set where now the bride and groom were like part of this thing that was going on. So like we couldn't even be like, hi, like I hope you enjoyed the show. Like, so I'll take that balance now and I'll get the fuck out of here because we're in rock. We have to get out of here.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And dude, it was like between the two of us, we were just like every last ounce of energy was just sucked from our bodies because it was just like we just couldn't reach these people. We were done with our thing. They kind of forgot about us by that time because it was such a big thing going on.
Yeah.
And it was just the weirdest, most anxiety-ridden I think I've ever been on a show. Like, you just don't know what to do because this is not standard protocol. This is not like, oh, yeah, well, when this happens, this is how I handle that. It was just like, what are the odds that a fucking Nigerian, like, prince hires you for their wedding and then like you can't reach them for the rest of the wedding?
Yeah.
You know, it was just everything, like it was just such a weird nightmare of a fairy
always
tale.
Get paid up front.
That's
no matter how important or unimportant the bride and groom are.
And to that point, it was a learning experience.
Yeah.
Like it didn't end badly because they were actually, the only thing was here's what happened. Kat convinced me to do so and I agree because this would be the professional thing to do. Because we actually, in total, wound up putting in about 4 more hours to that gig than we were contracted for, I billed them overtime.
Because gotcha.
We couldn't even get out of the building.
They didn't,
They
didn't pay you.
And they never paid. You know, so it was, you know, I never heard from them again. I tried to reach them, and I can't call them. You know, so they don't have a billing address.
Wow.
You know, so it's, yeah, so like that whole thing.
Oh,
so
my God.
The learning experience, though, was right. You got to, like, be prepared for the unexpected. And just make sure that no matter what happens, like, that your time is covered and your talent is covered and everything else.
Wow.
Apart from all that, They loved what we did. I learned two Nigerian songs for them. I sang them in Nigerian. People were filming it on their phones.
What?
It was crazy.
Awesome.
It was really like.
Right now.
Oh man, you know what? I bet you I probably could, but like
one was really badass.
One they were actually pretty good pop tunes.
Oh, dude, like,
but people
African
lost
pop?
Their minds.
Yeah,
they lost their minds.
They got some good DJs.
Really, really good. Yeah, some of that.
Yeah,
great.
And wow. So like there was a lot of pluses to the gig, but you want to talk about just like someone kill me, because like when we got done,
yeah.
We just looked at each other and we're like, well, so now what? Like,
yeah,
you also. At the time, that was like kind of toward the beginning of us going independent.
It
and
was.
You really undercharged.
Yeah, that was a thing too. I'm like, right, well, they only want me for dinner. So I'm not going to like, and I'm not the kind of guy, it's just who I am. I'm not the kind of business person to charge someone more just because I know they have money.
Yes.
That's just not fair to me.
No, you just didn't even charge what you. We should have been charging anyone
because it was just like it was supposed to be like a quick and dirty
in and out
It was supposed to be in and out, and like I guess
it was before we knew how shitty New York City load-ins were and also how costly the whole endeavor was, because not only is it your time in traffic sitting in New York and it's your gas money, it's your toll money,
your parking
and everything
everything. So it was just like, oh my god, it drained us, man. We got in the car and just like sat there for like a second and was just like,
yeah, that's probably my
get
worst
me
too. That counts for me.
Fuck out of here.
That's
right
a highlight
now.
Of how like you're an afterthought as a musician on a gig like that.
Sure.
You're totally an afterthought.
In that case, I can understand it. I mean, it was a really big to do this part.
Still.
Party. Yes. And we were only like a section of it, right? So it was like
this is where musicians were not like we're so beat down and we accept that.
Yeah.
That's not cool. And then learning that, oh, you flew out 400 people, you got the money.
Yeah.
Like, you got the extra however many. It probably wasn't that much more that you're owed. It probably was a few hundred more or something or whatever.
Oh,
it was.
It wasn't,
you know what I mean?
It wasn't crazy.
And it was just for your time.
Right.
Truly, what we should have done was been paid the entire balance before the gig and then at the gig not leave until we got our overtime and charged them the overtime at the gig. That's how it should
That's a hard nut, though.
I wonder if at the end of the gig, if you stayed the whole time, I wonder if you clocked it and you said, you know, I've been actually waiting around here to get your attention because you took my time overtime. And by not making yourself available.
Yes, I would say that.
You owe me this. This all could have been done. But you chose to make yourself, or whatever.
Yeah, well, that's how I build them.
Oh, that's how, okay.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I was just kind of like, well, we couldn't leave until you paid us. So we were there. Like, you know, it was rough.
So this is a good example.
Yeah.
Paul, do you have one?
What are the parameters again?
I mean, it's just like you got fucked on a gig or it's a shit gig. It's just like an enraging story of you're like, I can't believe this situation.
I mean, I can't tell the story that I want to tell because I have a feeling there's an ongoing lawsuit with this particular agency gig we did where we were stopped from playing halfway through. So,
oh my god,
I can't mention that one. Yeah, you were on that one. Yeah,
was that?
I think you were. That was the one.
That's the one.
The one. Yeah, I don't think we can talk about it.
The one involving me and not me at the same time.
I'm going to tell you about
so long ago though.
I'm going to tell you about a cringy gig that was. It got fucked by somebody, but it wasn't. It wasn't like that. It was kind of like that, but it was a very different. So, you know, when you're like a young musician, everything's like every opportunity you get is your break.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. You feel like it's your break.
Yeah.
Okay. So now one thing to remember through this story is I'm in school. I'm like 15 or 16. So I'm like super vulnerable. Right.
Right.
So my brother, Jamie, left school early. He was working as a full-time musician. Through another family member, we had met a guy from Dublin. I can't use his name, but he was a very flamboyantly gay, well-known in the Dublin gay scene kind of businessman. Very wealthy. I'm not sure how he made his money, but But he was fucking weird. You know what I mean? He was just a kind of weird...
Eccentric.
Eccentric guy. He was eccentric. That's it. He's eccentric. Because when you're wealthy, you're eccentric. You're not weird.
yeah, you're not a creep.
You're not a pervert.
Yeah. Right. So when we were like... I think when I was like 14 or 15, I first met him in London. And we played. He came to like a dinner party and we played because my brother had invited him. And he kind of caught on to like Jamie as a talented guy, which like... Jamie's ostentatiously talented, you know. He's like a frontman type talent. So years go by and he invites Jamie to Dublin to sing with this band, which he was putting this band together of locally based musicians in Dublin. Now, some of them were American. I can't remember what the fucking name of the band was, but it was a great band. And he said, Jamie, I want you to come and I want you to sing in this band. I want you to be like...
Oh, wow.
And like his vision was, I want you to be like the pretty boy band lead, like front man, young front man for this band. So Jamie naively goes off to Dublin. I don't know what the situation is while he was there, but months down the line after being in rehearsal, he calls us and he says, let's call him Jim for the sake of the story. Jim has asked us to open for the band at the Temple Bar Music Center. Wow. Now, the Temple Bar Music Center is a Irish music institute. It's where all the Irish artists, Damien Rice, the new guy Hozier, everyone's played there and had their big moment there.
Right.
It's like the Bowery the Bowery Ballroom in New York or somewhere like that. CBGB's for the punk scene.
Mm.
It's the Irish version of that. We're like, what? I'm at school, you know. He's like, yeah. So we're gonna play on like Monday, you know. We're doing a gig with this band and we're going to open for them and we're going to play our original music. And Jim wants it to be a opportunity. It's like a showcase for us, for the Dublin music industry, the Irish music industry. We were like, this is amazing.
That's it.
So Ali, who's living in Jersey, my other bro, flies back. My dad flies back. They all arrive in Cork and they're like, you know, I arrive back. They fly in on the Saturday. We're playing on the Monday. They're like, oh, this is such a great opportunity. The whole family's excited about it. So we're like getting prepared to drive up to Dublin and, you know, so we like track down instruments because I didn't have any bass at the time. So we had some songs that were like hastily thrown together. So we're like, oh my God, this is so exciting. We arrive in Dublin. We get to the venue. We like sound check and we're like, oh my God, everything sounds amazing and everything's huge. And Jim is there and he comes over and he's like, hello, everybody. Welcome. Welcome to the Temple Bar Music Center. I assume that you're all set up. Is everything okay for you guys?
Yeah.
And we're like, yeah, everything's okay, Jim. It's good. He's like, wonderful. Fantastic. That's great. So he just like lies out of the room again, you know?
Yeah.
Really like, you know, at this stage, he's just a eccentric genius who's right. going to take my brothers and me to stardom. So we sound check, we go away, we get something to eat. We find out later that while we're eating, Jim is taking a bunch of drugs and hanging out with his boyfriend, whose name is Manuel.
That's a real name.
So we get back to the venue and we're on at like, I don't remember, let's just say 7 o'clock. And we arrive back in at about 6:30 and there's nobody there.
Oh, no.
It's drizzly. It's like drizzly in Dublin. It's a real drizzly night. Nobody's in Temple Bar. There's nobody lining up outside. But we go into the room and it's like lights and, you know, everything. And, you know, we're like... this is kind of weird. So we go sit at a high top in the corner. We're like, this is weird. And we're all kind of getting nervous and anxious. And I'm starting to think now, something's really not right here.
Yep.
We're going to die tonight.
Yeah. So it comes time where we're supposed to get on stage. And one of the guys I was working with, the real band, Jamie's band, like puts the bass on me. He's like, good luck. And we go out on stage and we're playing. We get through the first song and everything's fine. And it's very hard to see. But I can see my family, like 6 people down here. I could see a couple of people milling around the door, like 3 maybe. But nobody else is in the venue.
Are you kidding?
Okay, nobody else is in there. We get about 2 or 3 songs in. And we're, for a couple of like school kids and whatever, we're doing great. We're having a wonderful time. Next thing, there's this commotion at the door. And Frank is at... Jim is at the front of the stage.
We'll bleep that out.
Jim is at the front of the stage, right? And he's looking away from us. And all we hear from the back is, Jim! Jim! And he goes, Manuel, fuck off! And we hear, Jim! Jim! And then all these bouncers start milling around the door, pulling this guy out of the room violently.
Holy shit.
And then Jim just turns around and shouts back, "Manuel, I love you!" Like, and Orsho has stopped at this stage. And they're like, and he's like, "Don't hurt my Manuel! Manuel, I love you!" We literally just stopped. I took my guitar off. And I walked. Like, there was just this rugby match on the floor. Like, there was bouncers flying. Manuel was trying to get at Jim because he loved him, but they had had some sort of fight. And the one was going, "Jim," and the other guy was going, "Manuel, I love you. No, don't hurt my baby." Like, during our show.
Oh my God.
Like, and everybody was like, myself and my brothers were like,
"Why wasn't anyone there?
What are we gonna..." Well, it turns out that this guy was so wealthy.
Yeah.
He had just rented
the space.
He had booked this opera house like venue.
Jesus.
Nobody was there. And like, we found out later when the actual band went on that the entire project was just so it was just for him. He just wanted them to play for him. So when they went on, my recollection of it was...
Oh, that is so
gross.
Wait,
you're talking about the other band.
When they went, they went on after us. They were great. They had some like a guy called Ben Prevo was playing with them. Ben Prevo is a very famous Irish guitar player. He's kind of like a Santana type guy. Sits down and play, like... They start playing and he's like, in the middle of songs, he's like, "No, no, don't play that one. Play China. Play Asia. I want you to play Asia now." So they would like... You know, and Jamie's like, "Fuck," because Jamie gets angry, you know, he's like, "Fuck," you know, and eventually this guy is bodily removed from his own show. Like, literally,
because he's all messed up.
He was just like, "No, don't play that." And then he would be like, That's it. "You're playing like shit. Oh, this is all terrible." Like, while the band's playing, and he's
that
like
is
yelling.
So creepy.
And myself, my father.
He could have shot you all.
My father, like, we had to just leave.
Oh, I couldn't imagine.
He was so angry. Yep. But I tell you what.
Good thing that happened.
The next day,
15.
I think they were flying out of Dublin, so they weren't going back down. I had to get the train down on my own. It was the worst day of my life. Because I had skipped school.
Oh.
I had skipped, my poor grandmother, she was beside herself with annoyance that I had skipped school for this thing.
Right.
And so I got back and I was like, "Yeah, it went great."
Yeah, right.
But the weirdest, and I'm probably not getting all the details right, but the weirdest fucking show, and you got to take that guy's name out because I shouldn't have said his name, but his name is, you can look him up. I think he's Googleable. His name is and he's called the Circle Man because he's got tattoos of circles all over his body. And he was a fucking nutcase. And like, immediately Jamie was like, "I'm done." He was living back in Jersey like a week later. "I'm done." This whole thing was just a vanity project for him.
Wow,
He had people move from Canada to Dublin for this. He had people move from the UK to join this band. And he just wanted this. And they were expecting the same thing I was expecting. A full venue.
He was human caterpillaring you.
Basically. Like sex trafficking
human,
you guys.
Human centipeding.
"Manuel, I love you!"
Yeah. Human centipeding you.
Is he there? Can you see him?
Yeah, that's definitely him.
Is this him?
No.
Maybe pre-internet.
Maybe. Dude, that is like one of those... Yeah. That's one of those, like, this is the universe.
This is
how the universe works right here.
Yeah.
What a fucking bunch of random events.
It was weird.
And you guys got so excited, you know what I mean? And guy actually has
that's my worst power. Nightmare to have someone like rope me. Like, I've been roped into some illegitimate but big talking dreams in the past, I have, but nothing quite like almost being murdered like Paul was.
Yeah, it just feels like a big setup.
Yeah.
You know, it just feels,
feels
like a big...
It is. It is a big setup.
Yeah, it is. He must be
pre-internet.
What he should have said, the guy, if it was a vanity project, "Hey guys, I want to pay you like the payment you deserve.
Yes.
But I actually am a really big fan of music and I would like you to be my band." And I'd be like, it's like being someone's personal chef.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I have the choice, but instead he baits them with lies.
God, that's crazy.
I want to shoot this guy in the head.
It was rough. And it was like the one thing that it actually was super humiliating.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
For us, because the worst part of it was, I mean, I don't mind if people want to have something for themselves, especially if they're wealthy. You know, the biggest crime there was how it was framed to everyone.
Oh, yes.
It was right. This big opportunity.
Oh, yeah.
And like all of the Irish record labels were going to be there and all these people were going to be there. And
I
it was
cannot
very
believe
exciting.
You said that. I can't believe
you know what's crazy is the fact that if he had that amount of wealth or whatever and he was able to get rent out that, you know, that place, why he had to lie to a bunch of teenagers? They would
right.
You would have done it.
You were
if
gonna,
he told
you were also going to figure out that there was no labels there.
But either way, even
or
if
whatever.
He was like, I'd like you to come and be the opening band for... Yeah.
At this famous venue.
You would have done it.
Right.
Just for the experience.
Just, probably. I mean, yeah.
Right?
I mean, we just to get a gig. Yeah.
You
got to
wonder. You got to wonder what may have happened if he was never thrown out of his own show. Like, would it have... Would he have tried to continue a relationship with you guys and like maybe snake some weird stuff out of you?
No, it was like, you know, and we actually had met him through another family member of mine. And I think everybody just, you know, everybody felt like at the time, it may have been overplayed at the time. Everybody felt like this guy took advantage of some kids.
Oh yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
And I mean, I don't know how he feels about it now, but I distinctly remember, like, my brother feeling really bad about it the next morning, being like, guys, I'm so sorry. That was just not what we thought it was at all. It was really humiliating.
No, nobody could preempt that type of madness.
That's gross
madness.
As hell.
From
madness.
An individual, yeah.
Madness. It was like, and I can laugh. It's kind of funny now. I can laugh about it. And it's like a memory that you, like you all have battle scars, right? Especially when you're an artist. You got to go through it a little
bit.
Yeah. Man, it was a rough
I think,
one.
I know I've been in scenarios like that. Nothing nearly as absurd. But I think we've all had something happen to us where something was framed a certain way and we were expecting something really cool to
always,
come out of it. And then
yeah.
it just turned out to be this weird fucking ordeal that was nothing.
That's why you gotta do everything yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trust no one.
It's weird.
Crazy.
It's a weird one.
Industry.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah.
I couldn't make up that story.
That's
Dude,
bonkers.
It was,
man.
Yeah, it was
I think
fun.
It's because people cherish, because they can't like put a definition. You can't define music. Music is such an angelic, like, godly thing, and people want it all for themselves sometimes when they get manic about it, so they want to keep these artists like I want I want someone to paint me like one of your French girls kind of thing, like paint me all day, oil painter.
You know what I think this particular situation was, though? I think it was somebody that, and this person loved music, like there was no doubting his passion for music. He didn't have any talent. So this, he wanted to kind of be a conductor almost.
There you go.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
which,
gross, man.
I mean, you know, I
go
get
to school.
It.
It was a fantasy, like fulfill some kind of a fantasy for himself.
It's weird because I have this conversation with people all the time. And I mean, without wanting to like diss or disrespect any sort of people who do certain things, but like people that work in like the field of paranormal and psychics and stuff, I feel the same about them. Like, go learn how to do something. Go get a talent.
Yep.
Like, go work hard. Like, I used to sit down after school for 2 hours a night listening to the radio trying to play along. That's how I learned.
Right.
Bleeding fingers and all, you know. Go learn how to do something. You know, if you want to feel special, if you want to feel like you have a talent.
Yeah.
Learn, like, put the hours
like
in.
Like,
control learn how
over
to do
something.
It. Yeah, exactly.
I think in every industry, there's a bunch of, there are legitimate ones and charlatans all the same.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
even
right.
In the paranormal field. I do
industry.
Think there's probably people who maybe were given a gift somehow to communicate in ways that other people weren't.
Yeah.
But it's the fakers that I can't tolerate. But I also can't tolerate a fake musician. The hell out of here, bro.
Yeah.
This is my church. And yeah, unless you're willing to devote yourself.
Music's weird because, like, when someone's, like, everybody's very tender to, like, the beginner, but the beginner who talks big game, instead of calling, in any other industry, a beginner, like, who actually does not have the acquired skill set yet, who talks big game, in any other field, gets called the hell out.
Yeah.
Music, though, everybody's like, oh, but they're learning. I'm like, no, like, this is, like, important.
I mean, I quite like to see a beginner...
No, but no.
I like to
who
see
talks it. Big game. Well, I mean, yeah. Who has as that? Not. I love beginners sure. in their field. That's. I was a beginner at some point, but I wasn't like. And I'm better than you. I was not like Manuel. Let's just say, or Manuel. Manuel. I was not like Jim.
So funny.
Who was like, I am a conductor, but really I just am a Manuel. Rich man.
Oh, man. Wearing the costume.
Leave my baby alone.
Yes. I don't think you should wear the costume.
Kat, did you want to share a story, by the way?
A bad gig? I mean, the wedding at Rockefeller Center was probably, and I forgot about that because I put that from my head. I put that out of my mind, so thanks for reminding me of that, Rich. I've had bad gigs. I can't think of any. A lot of bad gigs. Well, one of the worst gigs I've ever had was one I never played, actually. And I'll even say it. What's that venue? That burlesque venue in Northwest Jersey? What the hell's it called? Yeah, so Roxy and Dukes, I don't care about talking about them because they fucked me over.
Who gives a fuck?
I had taken a Saturday, and you were supposed to sell tickets to this one, right? Because you're supposed to sell tickets or else we'll kick you out of the venue kind of thing. So I had to take out a Saturday in the summer for a gig that I booked there with him, with the guy, with the owner. It was going to be a big to-do. I, for the first time, was able to get in touch with Roxy and Dukes. It's very hard. I had a conversation with him. Thank God. And I think you guys were on it. It was not that long ago.
I remember it being
I looked at the calendar to see, like, just to see what the ticket link was. It was time for me to start seeing what they've got going on. Nothing was on there. And I tried to get in touch with him. And I'm like, we're not on the calendar. Are we booked? Like, and the answer is, we are booked. I freaking talked to you. We weren't booked. He never got back to me, and I pulled the plug on the whole thing.
I remember that. Yeah.
And how dare you? Look, mistakes happen, but I had a bad feeling about that.
Business was doing weddings and gigs on the weekend.
Correct.
So, like,
you just inconvenienced me?
Yeah.
Like, why don't I just, I don't know, F with your shit now?
You could have gigged that night. You know what I mean?
We could have worked that night.
You know?
And it's a lot of venue owners just don't give a flying fuck about you.
It reminds me of that. Did you guys ever see the movie Still Crazy?
No,
I haven't. I know the title, though.
It's like a rock band. It's like a Spinal Tap, but a modern version. Billy Connolly's and it's really good, but it reminds me of a line from that movie which is kind of funny. Bino, who's played by Timothy Spall, is the drummer, and they're talking backstage, like they're having a shitty time on their tour. It's like a revival tour, and they're talking about like old war stories, going, 1985 Hollywood Bowl. And the rest of the band are like, we never played the Hollywood Bowl, mate. He's like, we never played Hollywood Bowl. It's one of my most vivid memories, and it never happened. It's exactly like that. The worst gig I ever did.
It was when I never played.
It never even happened.
I have one that didn't happen that long ago, and it still makes me livid to think about it.
Yeah.
Because I thought I knew how to dodge these types of situations.
That's the thing.
But you can't.
Yes.
Sometimes they come out of nowhere.
Yep.
And they come out of one of my buddies who I played with before, who I've had nothing but positive experience with, offered me the gig because he got offered the gig. But the problem was that he was the middleman. Mm-hmm. So he was actually giving me information on the gig late, which whatever. But I didn't realize it until eventually I found out. He's like, listen, man, it's not really my gig. And one of the things was like, can you let the other drummer play your drums? And I was like, all right, well, like, what time do we go on?
Right.
He was like, we go on at like 9. They go on at like 10. I was like, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. I was like, I'm okay with that. We can hang out. Like, I haven't seen you in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy I am, right? You know?
I hate that.
And by the way, it's not that my buddy was benefiting from it. This person who hired him, hired him, right? Now, you put things together. Little by little, it's her band. In fact, the whole night is for her.
Ah.
And like, it's not like a venue, like a concert venue. It's a fucking, like, it's like a place. What's those places in Jersey City that are on the waterfront that they have bars and stuff?
Mm-hmm. Just little piers.
But they're also like an event type venue.
Right.
So that's, it was that type of place. All these people, not a music crowd.
Right.
Right.
It's like cousins and uncles and grandfathers and sisters and aunts packed, which is cool. All right. So I show up. Well, first of all, like the day before, I was like, hey, man, can you, I was asked, could you show up at 5:30? Now, we're going in at 9.
Jeez.
Think about that.
So what? So they can rehearse? Is that right?
You cracked the code, my friend.
Killing me, dude. You're killing my soul right now.
So here's the thing. But here's the thing. I didn't know why.
Yeah.
So I told my buddy. I almost said his name. I don't want to say his name because he's a great, great dude. And it's not his fault. But I go, hey, man, look, you know me. And he's an experienced dude. He's done the wedding circuit. Like, he's done the whole thing, right? I was like, you know me, man. You know the deal. This is a lot to ask for, right? I'm already bringing a kit. He's like, believe me, I know.
Also, you're supposed to backline the opposite way. You're supposed to let the opening. Oh, yeah. The headliner is supposed to
I know. That's why I'm saying, nice guy, right? So I'm such a nice guy.
Just he goes like this.
He's like, listen, man. He's like, I trust you, and I want you to do what's going to make you comfortable.
Yeah.
So if you show up at like 7:30, 8 o'clock, I'm fine with that. Because he's like, you know,
that's your own. That's your only obligation.
Yeah. So I was like, is it okay? Do you think it's okay if I show up? Like, are you cool with if I show up at like 6:30? I aim for 6:30. I'll probably. It's also rush hour on a Friday. Like, that's the other thing. It's in Long Island.
Idiocy.
You know what I mean?
Are like, you it's kidding? Like, yeah. Long Island
It's in Long Island. So it's like an hour and a half away.
Everything.
Without traffic.
I can't believe you said yes. You said yes to all the shit.
But here's the thing. You don't know what you're saying yes to.
Right. Sure.
Right. I'm doing a favor for a buddy.
Yeah, because they're
withholding. And I like playing with him. Yeah. You know what I mean?
They love withholding.
And he's not giving all the information, too.
Yep.
All right. So whatever, I said. And he's like, listen, man, again, if you show up by 8, I'm cool. So I was like, all right. I mean, I'm going to aim for 6:30, but it might realistically get there for 7. So I get there, like, between the two, right? Now, you guys know me. I'm a lazy fuck. I'm only going to bring what I'm going to play that night.
That's right.
And that night, I only had to play kick, snare, hat, cymbal.
Right.
That's it. And my little bass drum, my little, you know, to-go kit. Right?
I see where this is going.
You see where this is going, right?
Oh, boy.
Now, I will say, the one bad thing that I did was I'm pretty sure that I didn't bring a throne seat. I might have left that home. Or it just was like in my trunk somewhere. I couldn't find it. Whatever. Right. I was like, I don't care. I'm gonna sit on a seat.
Mm-hmm.
They have seats, like chairs. I get in there. I start wheeling my shit in. And this woman who doesn't say, hello, my name is this, and this is my event, and blah, blah, blah. She's like, are you the drummer? I was like, yes. She's like, you were supposed to be here at 5:30. I specifically asked for you to be here at 5:30.
Oh,
I was like, well, I'm here now.
There you go.
Like, oh, can I go set up now? She's like, yeah, but you should have been here already. I'm like, oh, well.
Also, I didn't even want to get into it. Right.
I was just like, I'm just going to go set up now. Is that cool? She's like, you should have been here earlier.
Yeah.
Just walking away, going to set up. I go and set up.
Fuck this.
We do our 10-minute little sound check, like at most, right? Yeah. The band, right? Because my buddy's organized.
Mm-hmm.
The guys are organized. Everybody's organized, right? And then it hits me as soon as we're done, she takes the stage. And her musicians take the stage too. And by the way, I will say this about those musicians. They all were killer musicians. Like, mm-hmm. I was blown away by their skill set. Truly. Like, I was like, damn, what a lineup. Here's what the deal was, though. Exactly what you said, Rich. I was asked to bring the stuff at 5:30 so that she can rehearse with the band. And then I found out why she needed to rehearse with the band before the gig was because she hired them locally. Yep. She was from like Chicago and hired the band online through Craigslist or something like that.
And they didn't want to organize rehearsals beforehand and everything.
Didn't want to pay for a space or something. So I'm going to take advantage of the drummer that's going to drive from...
Who we don't even know, by the way.
Who we don't know.
My jaw is totally dropped right now.
And who's going to drive... I don't even live in New York.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So thankfully,
what
like...
What a priss.
Thankfully, like, it was one of those things. Thankfully, I know what I'm worth, and I'm not.
Yeah.
There's something weird here.
Yeah.
I'm showing up when I'm supposed to.
Good.
Which is like, you know, at least an hour with my setup.
Yeah.
at least an hour before.
Your job is to start the gig when the gig starts.
Which is nice, by the way. An hour with something I could set up in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm still nice, right? Yeah.
Still professional.
By the way, they still rehearsed. These guys are reading their sight reading music.
Reading a chart.
And they sound so good.
Yeah.
But the drummer was even giving me shit for not having a throne. And I was just like, hey,
I don't understand why.
And even the keyboard player. The keyboard player. Keyboard player didn't bring a keyboard. Like, it was
You gotta be kidding me.
It was like nobody brought anything.
I hate
You're the headlining band.
I'm just gonna say it, guys. I normally don't talk shit about other people, especially on a recording where it can be proved.
I
fucking hate unprofessional musicians.
Yes.
If you're an unprofessional musician and you're listening to this podcast, I hate you.
Get a fucking grip.
Do you know what the sad thing is?
Get a fucking grip, you people.
You know what the sad thing is? They can get away with it and not be called unprofessional just by their personality and how they conduct themselves with certain people.
Because they're just a hippie. Yeah.
In her mind, that band, I was part of the band that was just filler before her act, right? And I'm just some insignificant guy who, fuck him. If I'm paying him, I'm going to tell him blah, 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 blah. And you know what? I'm glad that I it's a weird thing to say, and listeners, hopefully you understand what I mean by that.
I'm glad
I got the gig. Mm-hmm. Just so she can experience that, her fucking asshole should tighten with anxiety before her performance.
Her ego has to drop down a notch.
That's what I'm saying.
Because
she's mistreating people of kin.
Yeah.
How dare you mistreat another musician?
Do you understand where you are? You're in the New York area.
Let me explain to you how this works.
I don't know what the Chicago scene is like, but you're in the New York area.
Right.
And these guys were like, again, high-level jazz musicians that she was lucky enough to be able to get for her gig.
Right.
And, but it's not, obviously it's not my problem that you didn't rehearse with your band. Mm-hmm. So anyway, listeners, look out for shit like that.
Yeah. Because
that stuff happens all the time, when you least expect it.
How did the gig go?
It was great.
Yeah. Did you take your drums after your performance and go,
no.
I'll take
it. Did they play overtime, though? Did they,
no.
They keep on your kit for long?
No, it was fine. Everything was fine. They sounded great. Mm-hmm. She's talented. They were talented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As you know what that is, man? That's just, in my experience, that's inexperience.
Yes.
When somebody behaves like that, it's like, hey, man.
That's exactly what my buddy said. He's like, she's young, man.
Yeah.
She totally doesn't know.
And they have an image. Much like Jim. I think there's an image people have of a thing happening. Mm-hmm. You know, like this Jim character may have seen someone else go, playing like shit. Yeah. And is like, oh, I get it. That's what the boss talks like. And this girl probably says, okay, this is what the boss does. The boss.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? I think they're wearing this costume and they're trying to play the part.
This is where somebody like her,
who actually is talented, and I think she wrote the music, right? It doesn't matter your talent. I never will work with you.
Correct.
Ever. And I will tell people not to work with you.
That's
the thing.
That's why
I,
yeah.
Look, and
exactly.
that might not scratch her at all, her career at all. And that's fine too.
It will though eventually.
If she continues to treat people like that. You know. So,
but
you know,
unless she continues to treat people like that, yes, if those people stand up for themselves the way you did. One thing musicians don't do is state their value outwardly, like into the ether, and also internally into their soul.
I agree.
If you know
musicians are always begging, and you gotta freaking change that tune, man.
One thing that the agency gigs did for me was it did put a little bit of fear in me, which is these guys really got me by the balls because I have a whole summer worth of gigs.
Right.
But they could fire me like that and replace me like that.
Right.
My skill doesn't matter.
Right.
If I just do this the whole night, that's really all they want.
You're
right?
Pork. You're farm-raised salmon to them.
So you have to navigate that world carefully. But when you have the opportunity where you're like, I don't owe you shit after my last note.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I don't owe you time before my first note.
Oh,
right.
Certainly not.
Right?
It's like the Wedding Crashers quote where Vince, for the kids, guy's like, make me a bicycle clown.
Right.
And he looks at the kid, he goes, I'm going to make you a bicycle. but not because you told me to make you a bicycle. Like, he's just, you know, he's got to hit him with that, like, I'm going to do this for you.
Yeah.
But you're being a prick.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I mean, look, again, it's a good story, but in the moment, I'm just like, I fucking can't believe it. Somebody tried.
Well, it hurts, man. That's what it comes down to, is it hurts.
I think a lot of people that end up doing things like she did are just people who have never been asked to do that. They've never been in that situation. The first time you're in that situation,
you're right.
You know.
I don't know. I feel like it's logic. First logic course should have been bring your own freaking instruments. Hmm. She should know that. What do you mean? I can't even believe I'm saying
she should know that. She's
That's not even experience.
It is an experience.
Hey guys, we're taking a test today. We have the tests. Okay. Well, I'm not bringing a pencil back.
You know how many, you know how often that happens, though?
Bring a pencil, you idiot. How do you expect?
All right, but to be
fair. That happens, but not everybody brings a pencil.
To be fair to her, like, coming from Chicago to do this gig, you know, like, it was smart of her to, like, hire the New York musicians. That was a thumbs up.
Yeah, hire the people with no car. That's a good idea.
But you hire people. Exactly. You hire people with no gear.
Yeah. They play Rockwood all the time.
And then. Where the thought lapse in thought in her, on her part was, well, you know what? I don't know if I feel like going, because she could have rented an instrument. She could have. There's so many options, right? You know what? I'm just going to ask the opening guy if he can ask his drummer. Mm-hmm. But the idea that, like, she was doing me a favor by giving me the gig.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
And then if she asked me to show up 7 hours earlier, that I should do it. The problem was, too, is... The part of this, again, this is all like little inside baseball stuff for listeners, is she didn't pay me. My buddy she paid my buddy, and then my buddy paid me.
Mm-hmm. And it probably wasn't enough.
For that amount of time, no.
Well, here, exactly.
But here's the thing, though. Again, for what my buddy asked of me first.
Yes.
You thought it was an ample.
It was fine.
It was totally fine.
Yeah.
It was totally fine.
But that's the thing. And it's
thinking about how he was handed money for this gig. It wasn't that I should have gotten paid more. We all should have gotten paid more. Mm-hmm. He should have, if he knew, and again, it's one of the, this is also a side thing for him. His main business is in the tech world. Like, it's like, even he is trying to organize his shit. And it would be nice, I'm sure it's just, it'd be nice to play. I'm sure Anthony would love to play. And I did enjoy the gig. Like, I did play with those guys. But for the future now, this is where you always learn things. Even he probably learns that if you're going to ask me to use my gear, it's another fee.
Yes.
Well, that's the difference, in my opinion, between a musician and a performer.
I should have said that.
There are a lot of people out there who are really good at their instrument, mm-hmm. but they have no fucking clue how the business part of it works and what the actual real world value of the business is and where they stand and what their position in the business is.
I think the thing that
position
always,
for sure.
This was where I struggled a lot with the working with the agency band was, I always felt like I was so lucky to have this gig.
They set it up that way.
Like I'm constantly aware of how fortunate I am to be in the situations that I am now, and as I was back then.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a balance. Like, the appreciation for you should equal the appreciation you have for the situation. And I always felt like, God, I'm so lucky to have this gig, and I always felt like I was being told, "You're so lucky to have this gig."
Yeah,
you
should be.
You're lucky to be here.
Yeah. That's any relationship. Yeah. Imagine if you said that about a relationship you were in with another person. Mm-hmm. If you felt you were lucky, and on top of that, the other person was like, "You know what? You're very lucky to have me."
Oof.
That's the most toxic situation you could possibly be in.
Yeah,
just went down.
Let's put the almonds back in the cupboard and the water back in the fridge.
Yeah, no doubt.
But it's like,
that's the inside baseball.
I'm going to empty my cart.
Just empty it out.
Bad pay, shitty load in, long drives.
Yeah.
All of those things really, I did a couple of gigs with, a mutual friend of ours recently, Joey, and he's always so appreciative. He always comes up and says, "Thank you so much for doing this. You're awesome.
Right.
I had a great time playing with you."
It's easy to do, right?
It's so easy.
And then he hands me like a few notes, you know, decent pay for the gig. And I'm like, oh, well, I got paid too. That's great. You know, what you've said and your appreciation, that's plenty.
Absolutely,
you know, it's nice to get paid, but you don't have this. I mean, I've been in other bands in New Jersey who remain nameless, where I was like, it's almost like the money's thrown at you and it's crappy money.
Yeah, you feel like a prostitute.
Yeah, like I was in a band here with, you know, it was fronted by three female singers. They were the worst gigs. They were not very pleasant people to work with. And it was
Dixie
crappy
Chicks?
Pay. Dixie Chicks, yeah.
It was.
Crappy pay. And I constantly felt like I was being told, you know, you're lucky. We could have anybody in this, you know.
That's so weird. How in any industry, how dare you say?
It's the only, to this day,
it is
the only time I have ever been fired from a band. It's the only time I have ever been sacked from a band.
You just reminded me of my worst gig.
Did you get sacked, Kat?
Yes.
Yeah?
After the fact.
Oh, yeah, that was a bad one.
Because of ovarian cysts.
Oh, okay. I remember this gig.
Because I was...
got sick.
A woman.
That was the name of the band?
Yeah, right.
It was. The Ovarian Sisters. On the radio, yeah.
I like that name a lot.
The Ovarian Sisters.
Oh, spelled C-Y-S-T-E-R.
These stories, though, I actually thank you for telling them. And when I clip them out, I'll send them to you just so you can hear it and go, you know what? Maybe I don't want that out there. And that's cool, too.
Oh, anything I say today stays.
I'll still send you the clip. I want to compile them. And then my idea one day in the future, which would be so cool. Can you imagine seeing like skits of these acted out and you just embellish them just a little bit?
Like drunk history or something.
Like your story is, can you imagine seeing that?
You should have them animated.
Or animated.
Animated, or do it like drunk history. You get drunk, you tell the story, and then have someone reenact it.
Like drunk gig telling.
Dude, it's...
And maybe it's like, again, maybe it's so niche because it's to the musician world, but still, though, I don't know. I think it would be entertaining.
You know what the best thing about this is? Though, sitting down talking about these gigs is, and it's, it really makes me appreciate it, because for every one of those... I gotta say, there's hundreds of awesome gigs.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah. Like
the really great gigs.
Paul always looking on the bright side.
Always outweigh the really train wreck shitty ones.
Yeah, and agree.
And that's that. Like it's, you know,
but
it's
the animal brain. It's like we have the shitty gig and we have to highlight it constantly.
You're
going,
right.
Look out for that.
Yes.
Look out for that.
Yes.
I usually don't. I think it's a learning experience. Like to me, that gig and my gig with the rainbow. They're hilarious in my memory.
Yeah.
Like in the moment, yes,
right
I would.
Now,
I
but
was,
like if we asked you that a few years ago, you would be like, that freaking.
No, I don't think so. In the moment, I am utterly frustrated. Like I am sacked and drained of all my energy because of it. But that's it. It's over. Yeah. It happened. And when things like that happen to me, I'm always like, that's a sample of what could happen and what shouldn't ever happen again. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it did is funny to me because
it is funny to talk about
course,
like this.
Of course Manuel got beat up by bouncers tonight.
I don't see why you can't use that guy's first name.
I look, and
because he's preposterous.
The reason that I wouldn't is because it's like, you just never know like who's going to hear this and you never know who's going to be like, hey, that's not how I remember it, but
right, yeah, it's just, you know, not the, yeah, you
the,
don't want
to. The important thing for me is that now whenever I'm with my brothers and we're like drinking and we're sitting there late, we go, remember that gig in Dublin that we, you know. And it's really weird because I've played at the Temple Bar Music Center twice. That's one time, and another time I played there and something in another orbit happened that wrecked that night for me as well. So I'm like, I just refuse
to
go
room,
back.
Man. It's got a stigma to it. It's got a bad vibe.
It's just got a bad, I don't know what it is, but it's got a bad vibe.
Bad juju.
But it's good. It's cool.
Guys, we are at like 4 hours. I think.
So, I need food. I'm like,
I know you guys are dying.
Asleep.
Should we play a song? It's up to you. It's really up to the three of you. I'm down to do it.
I'm always down to play a song.
What do you want to play?
I'm hungry.
Do you want to do an original?
Sure.
Sure.
Do we remember
which
any?
Original?
Or do you want to just improvise
me.
last one?
I'm scared to do an original because we haven't played
do you
in
want,
a while.
Do you want to do another one, more improvised one?
Yeah, we'll do a short one about that.
All right. Do we have something? What's a style that we haven't touched? We did the sexy slow thing.
I think it always comes down to the word for me.
All right.
Whatever the word is, I think
what
the word
feeling,
will
Kat?
Dictate it.
Greece is the word.
Greece is the word. Let's see. Like the country?
Or is the bird the word?
Oh, the bird. God. I think ant has to come up with it. Oh, ant,
shit.
We need a word, not an animal.
Yeah, you. Yeah,
not
you
an
need,
animal or a food.
No animals and no food.
So a noun or a
That's
verb.
That's all I think about.
Of some sort. Just animals and food all the time.
let's see.
Animals that are food.
Most are.
Does that have to be
actually,
funny?
Actually, most.
No, absolutely
yes,
not.
Most are.
It doesn't have to be funny.
Or a vibe. Or an adjective.
Yeah, it can be a verb, an adjective.
Red.
red line. Like
red
like
line.
Just
okay.
fucking red line. Red line. No, I mean like a word though, I guess, would be like livid.
Livid. Okay. Okay. Rich, do you want to start this groove?
Yeah, let's follow Rich.
Oh man, you know what? I think I'd rather Ant start it.
Okay.
Just because the vibe, the word has to have some kind of a rhythmic element to it.
Okay.
I feel like I want
to. I'm interested to know if he follows the
full
the,
bebop swing.
If he follows the nature of the word, or if he's going to go satirical on it.
Exactly.
I'm hoping here for satirical.
Just pulls out a pair of shakers.
Yeah.
And like, and it's just me yelling.
Yeah.
It would be funny to hear like a deep, a relaxing reggae with just that here.
That's a deep, relaxing reggae.
No.
Let's do that.
Andrew,
let's see.
Lead us off.
The word is livid.
This podcast is sponsored by Livid.
Sounds like a bad pill.
Levitra or something.
Yeah.
I wanted ice cream, but shit, they didn't have it.
What?
Just have a big good
ice cream.
Give me some ice cream, you fucking.
None of this frozen dessert good bullshit. Lord.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been a great podcast. Thank you to Richard Bayo, Kat London, Paul O'Keefe. Oh, we are crap.